Today's gospel is from Mark, the very first chapter, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 812. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, during this time of year, it seems like there is an emphasis on home. Thanksgiving and Christmas in these couple weeks between the holidays, there is this focus on the home in a way that we don't think about the home in the middle of June, I don't think. But there are family gatherings and get-togethers. How many people have made a special food that they are planning to make a special food, maybe you haven't made it yet, that you never make any other time of the year, but this time of year you do, and it has some sentimental or some family connection, perhaps. And then there's the music that is everywhere. "I'll be home for Christmas." "There's no place like
home
for the holidays." Excellent. And then there's decorating, right? People, myself included, spend more time getting the house ready and decorated. You know, somehow in the middle of July 4th, we don't really decorate quite this extent as we do at Christmas. But there's something about home and the mantle and the fireplace and the tree and the stairwell and the bathroom. And every room in the house gets some touch sometimes of something Christmassy or something holiday-ish. And it's a time when we think about days past, about younger years, about when our kids were little, perhaps. And it's also time to kind of imagine the future in a way. But this looking toward home and this emphasis on home is not something that we have invented in the last, 100 years or so. But we see it throughout the centuries, and especially we see it in the text from Isaiah that Marilyn read to us. We've had 2 weeks in a row of texts that talk about the experience of the folks in the Old Testament. And here in Isaiah, the Jewish people are longing for home. They've been in captivity, dragged from home by these invaders, and taken off to Babylon, to live in a foreign country with foreign traditions, a foreign language, a foreign religion. Everything familiar is gone. And they're trying to hang on to home. And it gets harder and harder the longer they're in Babylon, because folks die and are buried, and the home, the memories they could tell you about, oh yes, well, you walk down the street here and this was where the bakery was, and then down the road was that, and this is what the temple looked like. Those people and their stories are dead and gone. And there are kids, right? There are kids who have never known the home that you know. They don't know the stories, and for them it's like, what? You know, where? How is this? We don't, it doesn't really compute. And so the Israelite people, the Jewish people, begin to doubt. And they begin to doubt God and say, who are we kidding, right? We're nobody special. God has forgotten us. God has abandoned us. we're never going to be home in Israel again. That was all just some kind of pipe dream, and it's not going to be that way ever again. And so into that longing for something that they're not sure will ever happen again, into that space, Isaiah speaks. And Isaiah says, yes, you will go home. You will go home. Isaiah says, comfort. Comfort, O my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she will go home, that she will return, and that God's word will stand forever, and God's promises are true and can be trusted. And it happens, just like Isaiah says. Cyrus, king of Persia, defeats the Babylonians, and Cyrus has this policy, a governmental policy, that whenever he conquers a land, if there are people who live in the land who aren't from there, they can go back to wherever home is for them. And so the Jewish people get to go home. But when they get there, like we talked about last week, it's kind of a mixed blessing. It's kind of a mixed bag because they're going back to destruction. There are no houses left standing, no wells to use for water. The temple is destroyed, and there is hard, hard work to rebuild. It reminds me of, you know, the stories we hear, the pictures we hear of Houston after Hurricane Harvey, or Florida and Puerto Rico and the wildfires out in California, to rebuild when everything has been destroyed block upon block upon block takes tears and sweat and heartache and pain and a lot of work. But Isaiah says, you can do it. You can do it. And Isaiah gives them even a bigger challenge, because Isaiah says, this is a time when you rebuild that not only can you rebuild, but you can do things even better. You can make things right in a way that they weren't right before. And so Isaiah says, those valleys and those mountains that you had, the disparities that existed, all those, you can structure things so that they are gone. You can make a level playing field for everybody. You can live in equality. You can share. You can seize the opportunity to do things the right way, so there's not a huge mountain between the people at the very, very top and the people at the very, very bottom of a society. But you can shrink that and make things more even and more equitable, because that is what God wants, is for us, everyone, to look after their neighbor, to care for the widow, to help those who are strangers in the land, to be present for those who are lonely and have nothing. So Isaiah says, when you go back, think about that and be intentional and do things differently so that you end up with a better society than you had before you left. And today's gospel points back to this text in Isaiah and points back to this as well. And it does through this guy, John, who is just a weird person, I think. As a kid, kids always think John the Baptist is just very strange. And as adults, we lose a little bit of that. Because what kind of guy goes out into the wilderness and wears a camel hair for clothing, all rough and scratchy, and eats locusts, right? Honey, maybe that's okay. But locusts eats bugs for lunch? Just kind of weird. And he's talking about getting ready, about the need to prepare. And people are flocking out to hear him. And John is saying, get ready, because God is doing amazing things. Remember Isaiah. Remember the promises that Isaiah talked about and how they came true. But guess what? You haven't seen anything yet, because God is still at work and God is doing amazing things. God is going to bring people home. but home in a different way, to houses that never fall down, never get destroyed, never get flooded, never have things like that happen, where families never fall apart, where things are always good and perfect, where sharing is real, where peace reigns forever. That God is in the process of making all this happen. The Messiah is coming. Comfort, comfort my people. That peace, that loveliness is coming. Jesus is coming. And Jesus is the way that all of us are going to get home. Home to our truest, truest home. Jesus is the way to go home, John says. And in Advent, it's our time to get ready, our time to prepare, our time to make sure that we are doing the things that God wants us to do. And so what are those things that God wants us to work on? What are those things that God holds up as important in this time of preparation? They're not necessarily things you can wrap and put underneath your tree very easily, but they are even more important because of that. The first thing is hope, is hope. God promises many things in the scriptures, and God makes those things come true. It may not happen the next day or the next week or even the next decade, but the things God promises do come true. And we see that fulfillment again and again and again in the history of God's people. And God promises us things as well, and those things are true as well. God promises that in baptism, that we become children of God, that we inherit eternal life. God promises us in communion that our sins are forgiven, that we walk and talk and are in God's presence every day. God promises those things, and they are real and true in a way that other things in this world are not quite so real and true. But we can bet our life on them, and we do as Christians. So we have this hope in things that are not tangible, but yet are so real and so present and so true that they are at the core of who we are as Christians. So we're supposed to have hope. And we're also called to be renewed in our life, in our faith. God is here. And we need to be able to hear God's voice calling to us. And that's hard to do at any time. But I think especially at this time of year, there's so much to do, right? But your list of projects grows every day. And there's just so much to get done. And there's high expectations about what kind of gifts people might get or not, or how families are going to gather and what they're going to say to each other and how things are going to be. But in that, we're called to find time and space for renewal, for rejuvenation. And perhaps it seems like that's impossible to do at this point in the year, and maybe it is really tricky, but I think it's one of the best gifts that we can give ourselves is that renewal, rejuvenation. So perhaps Advent devotions do that for you. Perhaps setting aside an hour or two to do something creative and fun that you really just get into. Perhaps it's time to start exercising, not to wait till the first of the year, but to go for a walk or get on the rowing machine or do something for yourself physically. Perhaps it's time to get an extra hour of sleep now and then, which again is hard to fit in, but yet renews us. However or whatever works for you, whatever feeds your soul, do that. Be renewed. And then in addition to hope and renewal is joy. Because God is here. God is on God's way. And that is a gift, and so is the gift of life itself. And in busy times, we sometimes overlook that. That everything is a gift. that life itself is a gift, the good, the bad, the ugly of it, that it's all wrapped up in one package. And we would not know sweet without the bitter. We would not know joy without the sorrow. That everything we have been given, life itself, is a gift. And it is a source of joy and a source of incredible wonder at the complexity of our world, at how things fit together and interlock, of how music and sound and food and everything kind of interlocks and buoys us up and reminds us of God's presence with us. And in a season where joy can seem kind of hollow, where celebrations that we're so psyched up for can kind of just fall flat, or glittering things break and end up in the trash, although we're not referring to anything in the side of me. But it's a reminder to find where true joy is. That true joy is found not only among, maybe not even in bows, but true joy comes from that sense that God is with us and God's presence impermeates our lives. And so as we think about our home, as we think about going home and getting things ready, today's text remind us not only of our home on whatever street you live on, but also our eternal home and the joy that is to be found in both places. And so John the Baptist, Isaiah, and Jesus remind us of our need, of that part of us that needs to have hope, that needs to be renewed, that needs to find joy. And it's my prayer that in this season that each of us has an opportunity, takes an opportunity to do those things. Amen.